Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to Daddy vs. Doctor. Here are your hosts, pediatrician Dr. Scott Cohen and comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
What's up, everybody? Another episode here of Daddy vs. Doctor. Man, did we get hit in the mouth.
It's not where we got hit in this episode.
Yeah, that's the truth. We're talking micro penis, people. You ever hear of that? It's a condition. Also, talking about foamy urine, and very special guest, one of the nicest men,
unbelievable,
Walker Hayes, today on Daddy vs. Doctor. All right, this got so much response the last time we did it. We decided we got to open up the mailbag.
Look at that. Open up the mailbag.
We're going to jump right in to the bag. So what do you got? Who's asking questions?
All right. We got Steve and Lisa from Hartford, Connecticut, and they are asking, we are expecting our first baby girl and want to know what we should have on hand at home when she arrives.
Okay.
We all need the same thing, and I think we go a little over the top with what parents get these days. Mm-hmm. Like, did you have, like, wipes that were warm, like heated wipes?
I used them.
Well, I was going to ask you, if you don't have them for yourself, your baby doesn't need them. You use heated wipes?
Bro, you ever used a heated wipe before?
No, but still?
Oh, bro. No, not now. I mean, but like during the...
But why not keep it up? It's great. There,
you know, like, oh, let me go get a heated wipe.
What was the craziest thing you or Lana bought?
It's not that we bought. This is the dumbest thing we did.
All right.
Was childproof the house.
Yeah, but that's later. But when you're bringing the baby home, like the gear you had. Like, here's the thing. The baby needs one place to sleep. How many places did you buy for the baby to sleep?
We had a crib.
And
a bassinet.
And?
That's it.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a carrier. I'm sure there was a swing. I'm sure there was a...
Well, they don't sleep in a swing. We did have a swing.
Exactly.
We did have a swing.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of stuff.
That's you're right.
No, and it's all good, fun stuff. I think they need... You need diapers. You need diaper wipes.
Yeah.
You need a lot of onesies. That's all they wear.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to buy the cute outfits. And how many pairs of socks are they going to buy you? Everybody buys you the socks that look like shoes. Very cute. So diapers, diaper wipes, onesies, a place to sleep, bassinet or crib.
High chair.
Well, no, high chair is like 6 months old. You don't need it right when they come home.
Yeah, but like this is stuff that you would have.
Bottles, a thermometer.
Did you say bibs?
No, they're not eating yet.
Well, who's bro, eating? You're not getting this.
You're not giving.
6 months, go get bibs.
Yeah, I think you're just stages. Getting this all at once. You want everything.
So basics you needed, what you just stated. Yeah. Is there anything out of the ordinary that you've seen in your 20 some odd years of pediatrics where it wasn't either invented or wasn't prescribed back 20 years ago that you're like, wow, this invention really changed the game?
Well, the one we see the most probably are like nursing pillows. You know, there's a million of those pillows that the moms have on their lap to nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when my mom saw that, she goes, well, what's it? Why would you buy that? And I'm like, well, what did you do? She's like, pillow. Like, just a pillow from the bed or nothing, right? And they make them they're all the different coverings. Genius.
Well, those pillows actually strap to you.
Yeah, they strap on.
So you could walk around the house with a pillow strapped to you while the baby nurses. Yeah,
you've obviously never nursed a baby before because nobody walks around nursing the baby.
If you you had to get up, it's available. Yeah,
that's your job. I'm nursing the baby, Sebastian. Go do something. Wow. But yes, all right. So break it down. Simple things. Diapers, diaper wipes, onesies,
probably swaddling blankets, a place to sleep, thermometer, and then you're going to have some diaper creams and moisturizer creams.
Let me hit you with the thermometer.
Baby shampoo. Yeah, I guess there is a bunch of stuff.
Baby thermometer.
Yeah.
Kids 2 months.
Yeah.
Best way to take the temperature.
So under 2 months, rectal only, because it needs to be super accurate. It makes a difference. After that, under the arms, fine.
Okay. Do you recommend the guns?
Later, it's fine, because whether it's 101 or 105, the number doesn't matter. They're not always the most accurate.
And where do you put the gun? Here? Temple?
Oh, my where? God.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
No, but
I've done it here. You're it's thinking, hot. I've done it here. It's not.
You're I'm across the ding like this. You're thinking way too much.
On the head, there's no good place.
Depends how big your forehead is. Just aim somewhere on the forehead.
All right.
This is
my theory on the temperature, the thermometer in the house.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you went through this as a parent or still going through it. Every thermometer we have in the house don't work.
Yeah.
Every time I go and take a temperature, I take it out. My wife, that one doesn't work. What the hell are we saving this
thing
for?
You probably have the old mercury ones that drop and then you have a toxic leak going on. But the one thing gratuitous plug. So in my book, Eat, Sleep, Poop, in the beginning, there's a checklist of what you need that you can literally rip off and just checklist what you need to buy before the baby comes.
You could have just said that at the beginning of this. We could have saved ourselves 12 minutes.
Well, I just... You ever put a rectal thermometer in your mouth? Not on purpose, but like by accident?
A rectal thermometer? Why?
Yeah, because my mom, I remember as a kid, taking my temperature and then after saying to my father, like, oh my God, I just gave him the rectal one. And it was, she did it.
Oh, wow. You know.
I assume it was clean, but I don't know. I don't know. These are memories. God. This is why I go to therapy.
So, again, the mailbag, as you could see,
it's full just of something.
Full of shit.
It's full of something. That's for sure.
Email your questions to the mailbag at daddyversusdoctor@gmail.com, and hopefully we'll get to them on the show.
The opinions expressed in this program are not intended as professional medical advice, as a diagnosis, as a treatment protocol, or as a substitute for...
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Professional medical advice from your physician. Please consider your own medical history and consult with your own physician for your specific health care and/or medical needs and about your concerns for yourself and your family.
Hi. So I wrote in my question. I actually solved the solution with my son, but this question is, what signs could have been more visible to me as a parent? So from the time my son was a young age, his penis was really small. I guess one of the terms...
I'm sorry, we had a glitch right when you said that. Can you repeat that?
So from the time he was born, his penis was very small. The term that was online was micro penis.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, I know, right? So apparently it's a hormone issue from when they're born. And there are things that can be done when they're born, I guess, like hormone therapy. It has to be something with like the brain. I don't know. You, as a doctor, you probably know the terminology better. But until they reach puberty, apparently there's a way to resolve this problem. And it has actually nothing to do with them when they grow up. It's just a hormone imbalance and they need certain therapy. And what I was told is when they're babies, the solution is a little bit easier than when they're like 10 years old. Now my son is 12. So at 10 years old, I started to look into the problem and he's been seen by a specialist. But I guess my thing is, besides, you know, the size, you figure they're babies. So maybe that's a normal thing. It's a little boy. So his penis isn't going to be huge. But what would be like other signs or something that parents should be aware of if there's like a hormone issue before they hit puberty?
All right, listen. I got a lot to talk about on the micro penis.
A topic dear
and dear to your heart. I think I might still be dealing with it.
I mean, I'd be insulted that she called to ask you this question. You know, I don't know.
Well, listen.
All aimed toward sorry, you, I don't nothing.
Know. Listen.
I don't know anything about anybody else's penis size, but I'm a woman and I have three boys. So, you know, I figure this is a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I looked at Caruso's penis when he was first born. I looked at it. I saw it when I was changing his diaper. Now, I don't know what I was expecting,
right?
But I was looking at it going, all right, is that going to change? Like, it wasn't, I didn't expect it to be like a hog, but I was expecting it to have a little, you know, something to.
No, well, I thought it was weird when I came in and you had a tape measure and you were like,
"Yeah,
yeah, it was interesting." Yeah.
First of all, let me go. Is penis size hereditary?
The age old question. There's been a couple of penises that I've come upon when I've examined babies that are extremely actually on the opposite, like large, and that you're like,
like a
but then.
Wait, hold on. You can't skip over that.
Yeah.
You're examining a baby.
Yeah.
And you take down the diaper. And, and you're like.
And then as like a grown man, I'm a little jealous.
Right. He's got like a man dick.
It's larger than I would expect in a small child.
Okay.
And then when I say that, but I usually don't, I'm just like, oh, you know, maybe they're going to charge you extra for the circumcision, make a dumb comment like that. The dads usually puff up like very, like obviously it's from them. Yeah, and then with a straight face, I typically tell them it comes from the maternal side of the family to watch them deflate. I don't know where it comes from, but there's some genetic component there from somebody.
Have you heard of micropenis?
Yes. So micropenis, not super common, obviously, as far as a true medical condition. And it is very hard because babies' penises do not look big. The other thing that babies tend to be very chubby and fat, and then the area above the penis, which is the suprapubic area or fat pad, causes the penis to look small. So like babies have like peekaboo penises, right? Is this making you
Oh god, you know, I'm when Lana and I are getting intimate, I'm gonna tell her, take a look at my fat pad.
So you know that area above, right? So the penis looks very tiny, and then often it's like hidden and you got to sort of pop it out, and usually as the baby grows and thins out, the penis gets bigger and you don't notice it. So you're right, sometimes it's hard in and of itself to tell from penis size that there's an underlying hormone deficiency. A lot of times there's other issues. Was he diagnosed with something like panhypopituitarism or growth hormone deficiency, or
it was a hormone thing? I don't know the exact medical term for it. I just know that he had to receive hormone therapy. Mm-hmm. And they said that it's important that the children get the hormone therapy before they hit puberty. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happens. Well, what if you don't catch it? What if a parent just, I mean, I have three boys, so comparing one kid to the other two, I was like, you know, like there's something there. And then his was just, you know, the middle child having like, the tiniest one. I'm like, I don't know if this is a problem but hormone therapy made a difference because you saw an improvement in that, and he hasn't hit puberty yet anyways. So hoping that it was caught in time and maybe, you know,
with the exam, and the pediatrician is going to see and notice that maybe there isn't the growth that they would expect, and then start hormone therapy. And that's the idea, right? You have lower levels of hormones early on that boost naturally during puberty. So you maintain those levels, and then puberty surges and increases there. So it sounds like you're on the right track, but it's hard as a newborn.
What if you don't notice it? If you don't it's not like micro,
right. It may affect other things as well, because these hormones aren't just due with penile size. Sometimes they're related to growth and other physiologic functions in the body. So often you see other things with development and growth, and then that's sort of your trigger that we need to replace these hormones. So hopefully it's caught in time. Yeah. And then we got catch up time too. And I can't wait till he watches this as a teenager, his friends watch this.
You know,
but you know what? I'm you can tell him he's got the biggest one of them all now. So,
yeah.
Right?
To do the episode with you guys more for the fact that I don't want it to seem like I'm making fun of my child.
No, absolutely not.
But then I'm like, at the same time, if he grows up, then my other thought was having three boys, do boys at some point, you know, start to compare, like when they're teenagers? Is it like,
go, Sebastian. In the
school, and mine was smaller than the kid next to me? Then it becomes like a psychological thing, I guess. Is there a way to, like, you know, get them to cope with something? Like, I mean, I'm a single mom with three boys, so, like,
yeah,
how do you get the kids to understand that it's okay if they're smaller?
No, it's not. And I dealt with that at a young age. I had me and my buddy were in the woods, and he had to take a piss, right? So, you know, whatever, 12, 13 years old, you don't think about, you know, anything. He just whipped it out, started pissing. And I'm like, I don't got that, man. Mm. This was like, Jesus. So I'm thinking to myself, psychologically, and I didn't go home and tell my mom or dad, mm-hmm. you know, Johnny's penis is, a rifle. So I dealt with that going, all right, is that normal? But then I went to Camp Hastings. Here's another story. I was at a camp in junior high school, and we all had to shower together, mm-hmm. right? Went into the shower, and there was this kid, Tony, in our school, who was 12 or 13, but had a beard. All right. So when he was showering, he was well endowed. So as a kid growing up, I saw periodically through my life a lot of penises that didn't really, I didn't see a lot of penises.
I mean, this sounds like a coming of age story. I was in the woods with my best friend urinating.
And I saw a lot of cock when I was in my teens. No, I was just seeing him like people pissing or shower. And, you know, as a kid, you were like, oh, wow, you know, I don't have what he has. Here's another question. And this might be really inappropriate, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because this is a show and it's for entertainment value. Does the penis over time decrease in size?
Yes.
Does an 80-year-old man have the same size penis he has when he was 21? I'm just yeah. Did you ever think about this?
No,
the room hasn't.
I mean, God, you must stay up at night. Like, this is,
wouldn't you want to know? Do you think an older man has the same size he did when he was 21?
Ask your father.
I don't know. I mean, I'm dating around.
Let me know.
Wow. Yeah, I think, but as a mother, I think when these questions come up, you know, everybody develops differently and at different times. And just because we're a certain way now may not always be that way. You know, I remember in high school, this boy, he was the captain of the basketball team, football team, soccer team, every team. Why? Because he was the biggest kid. I remember him as being like Gigantor.
Yeah.
And I came back from my high school reunion and this kid came up to me and I'm like, hey, and he's like, hey. And it was that kid. He was 5'7". But if you're 5'7" in sixth grade, you're gigantic. Mm-hmm. But then everybody else caught up. And I never got to be captain of anything because of him. But the point is, things change and you're just there to be supportive. Sebastian's in therapy. It's all the same.
Well, we appreciate you sharing such an intimate part of your life. And we're glad to know that your son is on track to coming into his Thank own. You. As a young man.
Micro penis.
That's right.
Yeah, hail the micro penis.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes.
And enjoy your day.
You too. Thank you.
You got it.
I have a challenge. Find me another podcast where micro penis has been mentioned.
That's what I'm saying. And like, you know, you got a lot of podcasts out there, right? And I would challenge anybody out there to bring me a clip of anybody talking about a micro penis. And then on top of that, anybody sharing a story about when they were 12 year old.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Woods and seeing their buddy's hog.
Yeah. You taught her a rifle.
Yeah.
Just doing some Christmas wrapping right now, building some toys and running around the ring.
Building toys.
What are you guys building? What's
Texas, man? This thing is awesome.
What is it?
Build your own engine.
Wow, this is above my pay grade.
Wait, you put it together for them?
What's that?
Did you make that from scratch? That came with a kit?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, no, that's great. That is something else. How old is your son?
6 months.
Two.
Nice. So what do we got? A urination issue here? Holding in the pee?
Yeah, our daughter. For as long as I can remember now at this point.
So what caused, have you heard about this?
Yeah. You know, some kids, they just try to hold it. She's two. Is she potty trained yet? Not potty trained.
No, this is my daughter, so she's six. She's fully potty trained. It's been potty trained for years. And just we'll hold it for such a long time. We've tried bringing her to like a GI doctor. Haven't really gotten too much response out of it. It's just like possibly constipation. But, you know, I don't know. She doesn't have accidents, but she just will hold it. And yeah.
So she doesn't have accidents.
No.
Okay. And she's not she hasn't had a history of constipation?
I don't think so. My concern is like, you know, is she going to have like, you know, like a, you know, get sick from something just holding for so long?
Yeah. Typically not. So the reason we ask for constipation questions, because I know you're like, wow, how did that come up? So when you have a lot of poop in there, then often it affects the outlet of the bladder. So kids won't fully empty the bladder. Sometimes they'll hold. It also can predispose you to like urinary tract infections. Has she had any urinary tract infections?
No, we don't think that she might have. Well, my furnace just kicked on. Sorry about that.
No worries. It just kicked on.
There was a couple of scares with that where we, you know, tested it out, but. You know, brought out to a doctor for UTIs, but nothing was ever confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, if somebody holds their urine, it's not going to hurt them. Eventually, she's going to have to go so badly, she's going to have to go. A lot of times with kids like this, they have accidents, which she's not having, which is great. Sometimes they get recurrent urinary tract infections, which hasn't happened. So in general, it is behavioral. I mean, I would probably try to take the pressure totally off her, not make a big deal, because I think the more you talk about it, the more you say you have to do it, I think then behaviorally she's going to hold on to it tighter. I think it's nice to have sort of time voiding. So you pick certain times of the day where you would naturally go to the bathroom first thing in the morning, after school, before bed. We just ask her to sit and try. Not a big deal if she doesn't, but try, because often just sitting there, then you go. And then otherwise we sort of back off a little bit and it usually gets better over time, considering none of the negative effects have happened and it's not going to hurt her. It just feels yucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you were just saying about the behavioral, I remember when she was really small, like two, her daycare almost like acted as if, you know, she was having accidents on purpose, which I was shocked at. I was shocked to hear this. So I think maybe she got a little bit of shame from the daycare lady.
Oh wow.
And she may be holding on to that. Yeah. You know, which like I said, it kind of set me back when, you know, I had said, oh, she had an accident, and the daycare lady says, oh, it's not an accident. She knew what she was doing.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
Like, she's 2 years old. I don't think she knows, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there might have been a little bit of a got reprimanded, and maybe somehow, you know, mentally she kind of got affected by that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think just taking the pressure off is good. You tell her wherever you want to go, whenever you want to go, you just let us know. And we take all the pressure off. Well, what do you think?
What do I think? I think we go find this daycare lady.
she's long gone anyway. So, yeah.
No, I'm just adding some humor to it. Yeah.
What's the longest you can hold your pee?
I got a pee question on my side. We've talked about this amongst other friends and family, whatnot. When kids or adults, whoever, go pee,
yeah,
in the toilet, yeah, if you see foam,
mm-hmm,
are you dying?
No. How often do you see foam?
That is, I'm sorry.
The light bulb went off on his head.
You guys are about the same age, so
no. I haven't seen that in a while, and I saw it the other day when I went pee. And
I think you got a heavy stream. You're making bubbles.
No. I've heard.
Yeah.
And again,
it's way beyond my pay grade.
If there is foam,
yeah,
there could be a protein that might be entering your bladder. Yeah.
And causing kidney issues, because if you're excreting protein, it's not a good thing.
Yeah,
kidney
issues. Yeah.
But one thing your doctor always checks at every visit is urinalysis. So they're checking for that protein, blood, signs of inflammation. So they should be checking for that.
Well, no, I've had my urine checked, but at times it looks like the head of a beer.
Yeah. I think intermittently, yeah. I wouldn't be too, what kind of beer? Well, intermittently. Yeah. I think we're looking, you spent a lot of time looking at
everything.
Feces and urine and friends in the woods, like lots of different things going on here.
Well, let me ask you, and I don't want to, you know, bring this into the toilet. Do you, when you go to the bathroom, do you look at your urine to see if there's anything different?
You're asking me, right?
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I think it's natural because that's the way we're facing anyway. And yes, I always look, you know, obviously the color, the darker it is. I correct me if I'm wrong, but you need a little more water in your system. Yeah, you kind of analyze it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm not that off. I mean, you're looking at me like I'm nuts.
No, but when you said that, no, his eyes did light up. It was just
because
like,
these questions that people have that they don't even know that they have.
It is, yeah. That's why you're here. But bring up the questions everybody has. Yeah,
that's right.
Just the other day, I it's funny you brought that up because just the other day I said, man, that's a lot more foamy than I've seen in a long time.
Damn right it is.
Yeah, you both. Right. You both should go see the same urologist, Doctor. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your call, guys.
Thanks, guys. Good luck building toys. I love it. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Awesome. Take care.
You got it. I think more people should be doing an analysis of things like that.
Their
you
body.
You don't have this because you're a doctor, and I believe doctors are not hypochondriacs.
So I think you can go one of two ways. You either are super or you're not at all. I tend not to be at all. I got this thing on my thumb that has been here for years and it's not coming off.
Yeah, I mean, I had that on my thumb, I'd be in the emergency.
So we'll post that. I have a cyst on my thumb that I don't know what you guys do at your holiday parties, but there was a hand surgeon there and he said, you want me to see if it's fluid? And I said, sure. And there's like 30 people. I go, what do you need? He goes, I need some lidocaine. I need 25 gauge needle. I need some. Blah, blah, blah. I went to my office, got it, came back, kitchen table, everybody around, betadine, needle in there, Aubrey's face, my daughter, oh, she's going to pass out, never going to be a doctor. And there was no fluid in there.
So what is that?
They think it's like a sebaceous cyst. They just got to scoop it out like a grapefruit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it, people. You're going to see that. You're going to see that entirety on the Instagram page.
This is what we do at Hanukkah parties. Yeah, latkes and thumb cysts.
Hey, what up, y'all? Hey, do I have my camera right? Or do I need to turn it to the side?
No, it's beautiful. We see you.
He's hit y'all and y'all.
Y'all life, man. It's like talking to my wife. She's from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, so you get a lot of y'alls in your house.
Oh, yeah. A lot of y'alls. And I spent seven weeks in Mobile, Alabama. So I believe that's where you're from.
Did you?
Yeah, doing a movie.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's amazing. What movie is it? Should I have seen it?
No. It's coming out. It's coming out in May. It's a comedy, loosely based on my life. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something before we start this?
Yeah.
I usually do these things and have no idea who I'm talking to. And I'm never educated because I have six kids and I'm just a songwriter. I don't pay attention to anything, but I know who you are. And I listen to this. Your bit about when the doorbell rings is absolutely iconic in my brain. Like, that is my childhood. Like, everybody came in, mom was glad to see people, and now we all hide. And I just want you to know that like, I literally saw your face and was like, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
That's it. Well, I appreciate that. That's very sweet of you to say, and I appreciate you saying. A lot of people relate to that, but it's very multi-generational, and people could relate to it. And I'm fascinated that you have six kids, right?
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
You being in the entertainment business, and I love to ask these questions to people that have a family and are entertainers. How do you balance fatherhood and your career? Or do you even think about it?
I don't think about it because it's just not possible. I mean, my wife and I moved here in 2004. And, you know, everybody was like, hey, you know, wait on the whole family thing. If you're going to do the music thing, you know, it's not really conducive to having a big family. And so we got pregnant. And then people were like, oh, you know, you can do it with one, but you probably don't want more. You know, and then we got pregnant again. And then it's like, you know, we just did not listen to anyone who said that it wouldn't make sense, you know, in my work. Hey, you're an entertainer, you know, the travel. And it has not been easy to balance. And I'll say my saving grace is that my wife has always homeschooled our kids. So that allowed me to be a present father in a line of work where you normally don't get to do that. So really, to me, that was the saving grace. Obviously not for everybody, you know, homeschooling, but all my kids are homeschooled. And so they travel with us on the bus. And balance, that's not the word I would use. I mean, it is chaos. There's dogs everywhere. There's kids everywhere, trash everywhere, but it brings it, you know, we're able to be together, you know, but man, I mean, I would never dare say I've ever had a good balance with it. That's always been a fight, you know, a tug of war for sure.
Yeah, no, I wrestled with that myself and I only got two kids. And like, what's, I never wanted to be like in Montana doing a show and then my kid is doing a recital. You know, I wanted to be there for them throughout those kind of, you know, those years that they're kind of young. So,
what's the age range?
Man, I get it. My kids are almost 17. My oldest daughter is 16 and my youngest is 9. And, you know, to your point, you know, talking about the Montana and the recital, you know, my dad was a real estate agent and I mean, bro was glued to his phone. You know what I mean? And I took it personally growing up. You know, I would look on the sideline and see my mom by herself and be like, "Dad, come it," you know? And that kind of, honestly, I think I kind of overcorrected. And honestly, I don't know if I'm doing it right, but you know how it is, man. You just, the other day my son drummed for a church, like, youth group thing. And I just begged it. I was like, can I just go to the rehearsal? Is that dorky? You know? And, you know, thank goodness he was like, yeah, it's cool. You know, you can go. And I just try to be at everything I can because, you know, like you said, you know, there's some opportunities you just can't, you know? Yeah. And you know, your kids will understand when they get older, but it's hard as a kid. I remember as a kid, it was hard not to take it personally. Like, oh, Dad would rather be working, you know, than be here. And it's just tough. You know, it's tough to understand that when you're a little kid.
Absolutely. So having six kids, is this something that you come from a big family and you wanted a big family, come from a small family? I'm always fascinated when once you start going past three or four, is it like...
Are you crazy? yeah, everybody always asks. They're like, "You're Mormon? You Catholic?" You know, they always give us the routine questions. But I came from a family of nine, and my household was crazy. My mom had four kids. She had three boys and a girl, and my dad came from a previous marriage with three girls and a boy, and then they got married and had me. And so, honestly, I'm closer in age to a lot of my nieces and nephews. So I always love just tons of kids, you know, tons of family. And so, you know, Lainey and I didn't have like a number in mind, but, you know, we just kept going. They kept everything we spit out was good. I was like, hey, let's see what comes out next. Now we do have, honestly, this makes people think we're crazy, but we would have more than my wife. We lost our seventh. Our seventh was a stillborn, and it crushed us. And but it also really made us even more grateful for the ones we have, you know? And so that changed us in beautiful ways, honestly. But, man, I love my kids, and I'm at, you know, back to their ages. I'm starting to feel that pain of them leaving. You know, I'm looking at my daughter. And, you know, I'm always talked a big game. Like, oh, no, I want y'all to leave. I want you to spread your wings. And now that I'm seeing them begin to spread, I'm like, hold up. We're buddies. You know, so you can stay if you want. You know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know you got teenage daughters. I only have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old, so they're small, but he's got teenage daughters, and he's kind of coming into that.
Yeah, we go through that, you know, when they're misbehaved, we're like, oh, they only have four more years with us, and then the rest of the time, we're like, oh, we only have four more years with you. Oh, no.
I know, man. I mean, it's so cliche, but good Lord, it's the truth that you're holding them in one hand, and then one day, they're like, almost your height, and you know they're adults, you know, in your house, and it's fun, but I can feel that sting. I mean, there will be tears shed, you know, that first night. Lila's not in the house. I mean, she has been a rock for our marriage, for our family. You know, she has been going through some tough times for sure.
We were just talking, Sebastian was just saying how, you know, he just watched his daughter in a recital and he was in the back by himself bawling. And I can tell you are a proud papa, and there's probably many of these moments, but do you have like a big proud papa moment you can remember?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's those obvious moments, you know, and I'm sure you guys can relate. It's when my kids are face to face with adversity, and you know they get up is when that really just choked me up. You know, I've seen just your normal, like my son Bay's in a baseball slump, you know, and you can tell he's getting up to the plate and he's not doing what he feels like he's capable of doing. And then he gets up and he gets himself out of it, you know, rather than kind of wallowing in that, like, ah, what am I doing wrong? You know, he figured it out. Same with my daughter, Leela. Like, I'm noticing she's experiencing the whole broken heart thing a little bit, you know, and just relationships are getting a little more complicated as she gets older. And I love watching her navigate. One thing I just watched my daughter do is, in my show, I have three professional dancers. They've been dancing their entire life. And I basically watched Leela start at basically ground zero, learn the whole show with these, you know, these girls who have worked their whole lives, you know, to dance professionally. And she joined them. And I didn't, the only favor I did was give her the opportunity. And I told her, you know, if you can't hack it, it's no big deal. You shouldn't be ashamed. These people have danced their entire life, you know. But at the end of my tour, we were face to face, you know, the whole night in this show together. And I was like, this is iconic. I will remember this to the day I die. You and me standing on the stage, performing in front of 10,000 people, just having fun, you know. And, you know, she worked her butt off. But, man, I am such a puddle. I mean, my kids could literally, like, blow a bubble with bubble gum. And I'm like, somebody take a picture. You know, I mean, I'm the sappiest, you know, dad. And I have to ask my kids, I'm like, hey, is it embarrass you? You know, I used to get off the road and, you know, I know the coach hated this, but I would go into the dugout and hug my son. You know, I hadn't seen him in a week. And I'd be like, I don't care what any of you dads say. I'm going to physically hug my son. I will not wait till this game is over. And y'all, you can judge, you can do whatever you want, but I'm going to give him a hug, you know? And so, I don't know, maybe I go a little.
No, I could relate to that. Even at this recital last night, I'm watching Serafina, and we were up high, and I knew she was looking for us. I was going to run down and tell her in the middle of the thing, we're up there, we came, you know? And I'm like, is that appropriate?
Now, when they see you, you know, when they're scanning the audience and then you get eye to eye and they light up and you light up, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
That's a moment. That's a moment.
So I know you've had, we won't keep you much longer. I know you have.
No, you're good. I love this.
Okay. You've had six kids. You've kind of been through colds, flus, what have you. Was there one thing in particular that you had a question about, and if you don't, that's fine, to ask the doctor in regards to, you know, we've had callers call in and say, hey, just the last caller we had, her son's penis is small. We've gotten a
lot. She needs to look at her husband. she should have married somebody, so another dude.
Well, I found out there's there's a thing called micro penis, which is a which is
it's like, yeah, give me a go.
I've heard of this.
But no, I mean, if you had a question or anything in regards to pediatrics that you were like, oh, I want to ask a doctor.
Or anything that's come up with your kids that was like concerning, like Sebastian's daughter was in the hospital with some breathing stuff. Anything come up with the kids?
No, you know, I don't know if like this is a controversial topic to bring up. I've been known to say the wrong thing before, so pardon me, but I'm actually going to Rwanda soon, and all of my kids are not, they're all different levels of vaccination. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just curious, like, you know, have you done any of that, like traveling abroad? Would you recommend just going to get A through Z? Like, let's just load them up. Like, do you catch them up week by week? Like, I don't, we're not like pediatric regulars in the house, so I don't really know. Maybe some advice on that would be helpful. We're going in March.
Okay, so you've often heard, we're going to whatever, South Africa. You need these shots to go there. Do people not get these shots and just go in and see what happens, or what's the recommendation?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes on for international travel, and it really depends, you know, the CDC website has where you're going, what time of year different illnesses are more likely, mosquito illnesses, things like that. And in countries like where you're going, you know, sometimes malaria prophylaxis is important, like taking medicine so you don't get malaria. And then there's other medicines like typhoid and yellow fever. And these aren't your typical vaccines, right? We don't do it in the United States because we don't have to worry about these illnesses. Though it is often worthwhile at least to have that discussion with a travel doctor about it for both you and your wife and the kids, because these illnesses are much more serious and because of where you're going. And it really, again, depends on the city and the time of the year and what's going on. And then, you know, as they get older, a lot of the vaccines they may have gotten as children, if they haven't, you sort of outgrow them. Like we don't give them. But then there's some older vaccines that also may be worthwhile for international travel, as well as being in the United States, things like meningitis and things like tetanus, because again, these are more serious things that they could be exposed to. So it's probably worth the conversation, especially a big trip like this, just for the sake of, you know, prevention as best as possible. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely check in with a doctor we trust. I think he actually lived over there for some time, you know, so he knows. I think realistically, like,
yeah, what's, you know, likely, what's not, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so you can go enjoy.
Okay, and the final question, this, the song you had, I only know it as the Applebee's song, right? Now, this was a song that became popular. There's also a dance attached to the song. I often wondered, do you, the artist, are you working with TikTok people and going, here's this song, come up with a dance as a promotional tool for the song? Or does this all happen organically?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone believes me, like, when I answer this question, because look, here's the deal, guys. Coming out of COVID, I had had 437 days with no show. I had no clue what was about to happen with my music career. You know, we were kind of have to, like, recharge it, you know, because I hadn't been out there playing. I hadn't had a lot of music out. I had an EP come out, which had 6 songs on it. And, I mean, they were all right. But one of the songs on that EP was Fancy Like. I had no contact with Applebee's. I never even assumed Applebee's would even like the song. I just loved the song. And over COVID, my daughter and I got on TikTok. My team said, hey, you need a TikTok. I was a little frustrated. I had literally just figured out Instagram. So I was like, man, I don't need another social platform. So my daughter and I did a bunch of dances just for fun. You know, we would do the trendy ones and make up a few. One single, literally the 2 days after Fancy Like was released, my daughter, we came home from church. She said, yo, Dad, Fancy Like needs a dance. You guys, I'm not lying. We made up that dance. Less than 30 minutes. My wife filmed it twice. We posted it. And by the next Sunday, it had over 15 million views and the internet was broken. Applebee's was calling. It was insanity. I mean, I literally went from like, hey, I'm just chilling at the house, you know, hadn't shaved in 100 years. And then all of a sudden on the Today Show and that dance, every freaking way you look. I mean, none of it was planned. Absolutely none of it. Now I'm like, man, how do we do that again? And I can't figure it out. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
We're gonna get Sebastian to do that dance. We'll send it.
Come on.
Yeah,
you gotta do it.
We're gonna do it. And your daughter must have a pass for everything now. I mean, if she does anything wrong, she'll be like, but Dad, remember the Applebee's dance?
Remember the dance? Yeah. No, we have a honestly, the coolest thing I ever got out of this was I got a gold player. And it's like free Applebee's for life. So, I mean, when I get to hang with y'all, I'll take you and your families. It's on me.
Let's do it, man. We're going to Applebee's. Let's go. Well,
let's go.
Listen, man, we really appreciate taking a sliver of your time to talk to us today. And where are you at? Where are you, in Tennessee?
I'm in Nashville. Yeah, I'm actually right south of it. Thompson Station. And I'm actually meeting the kids. We're doing the Santa picture today, you know, the yearly thing. So that's what we're about to do. But, man, I love being with y'all. Anytime, y'all. Good to
All right, next time I'm in Nashville, we're hitting Applebee's and getting a bite to eat.
Really appreciate you. Huge fan and bigger fan now. Amazing.
Yeah. What is you got any, like, new specials coming out?
Yeah, I got a new one on Netflix. It just came out last Tuesday.
Let's go. What's it called?
It's called Is It Me?
Okay. Let's go. I'm going to go check it out tonight, man. That's awesome. I appreciate you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you. Back
to the family.
I'm sorry. Listening to that, man, he seems like there was three moments where I was going to cry.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, was it just me?
No, he just seems amazing. He's so modest and he's such a great dad. And I want to just go hang out with him. I want to cuddle up on a couch with him and watch a movie. Like, no, didn't you feel that way? Like everything came out of his mouth was like perfect.
I know. Everything is like, this guy is like the perfect man.
Yeah.
Six kids, just got back from church.
Yeah.
Where do you hear that in L.A.?
No, but I mean, being on stage, I mean, you can relate to this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Being on stage with his daughter and traveling with his kids, and he just wants to be a present dad. And the fact he can do everything he does, and he's going to do Santa pictures.
Santa pictures. And on top of that, here's another one that threw me. Six kids homeschooled.
Yeah.
Now, me, if I had to homeschool my kids, I would say they're going to have problems.
Yeah, I can't even help them with homework.
Yeah.
So,
you know how confident you have to be in your intelligence to go, I want to give what I know to my kids? That's another level, bro. There's no way I could teach my kids the basic foundation of what they might need to flourish.
I want a recurring segment called Y'all Parenting, where he just comes on and just gives a tidbit every once in a while, because I will be all ears open.
I know. That guy is fantastic. Well, another great show. Walker Hayes, one of the nicest guys I think I've ever spoken to.
I could sit and speak with him for days. Guy's amazing.
Three times during that interview, I wanted to weep. All right. The guy has a voice where he almost is on the verge of tears. Talked about the micro penis, talked about pissing in the woods, talked about foaming the urine. I mean, it's just things that you don't see covered in any other podcast. Now, if you have a question about your kids and you can't get it answered, come here. Daddy versus Doctor. This man right here is a wealth of knowledge. Not only the education that he received, but the 20 years of experience in pediatrics and with my commentary on top of this, I don't see
how
a better.
How can you go wrong?
I don't see a better. Email us, daddyversusdoctor@gmail.com. If you can't get on with us and you just want to, you know, have a question answered, we have a mailbag that we pick from. We pick and choose. So email us there. Have a great day. And can we play us out? Do we have licensing on Walker Hayes's Fancy Life to play us out of here? If not, we're going to get a cheaper version at a library that we have access.
We can hum it, right?
No, even if you hum it, you got to pay for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I won't hum it then.
The opinions expressed in this program are not intended as professional medical advice, as a diagnosis, as a treatment protocol, or as a substitute for professional medical advice from your physician. Please consider your own medical history and consult with your own physician for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs and about your concerns for yourself and your family.